That's the title track of Lonnie Smith's 1969 album, not Lonnie Liston Smith, but Lonnie Smith, 1969 album, Turning Point. Lonnie Smith, of course, on his trusty Hammond B3 organ, Lee Morgan on trumpet, Benny Maupin on tenor sax, Julian Priester on trombone, Melvin Sparks on guitar, and Idris Muhammad on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we'll talk today about the only thing that we should be talking about today, and that is we are surveying the carnage and deciding what it is that we ought to make of it. President Chaos, as I call him, is living up to his moniker and is at the center of several swirling political storms that have transfixed the nation. Chief among them, his dramatic firing of former FBI Director James Comey, a federal investigation into Trump's possible collusion with Russia to sway the 2016 presidential race in his favor and against Hillary Clinton, and whether some actions he has taken and is contemplating taking, including military action against other countries, are within his sole power and authority. A partisan mainstream media claim they're reporting the truth about what is going on. And yet their political biases and prejudices are so clear and intentional, all misinforming. But we'll be talking today, we'll be from your perspective. What do you make of the current political climate in the United States, the situation as it exists? What is it saying to you? Not only from the point of view of, the big picture, but also what does the small picture look like? What does it compel you to do and to think about as an individual citizen? We don't talk enough about these things when they happen. We trust that the analyses that we're getting from the media are sufficient. These people, after all, they know what's going on. They're smart. They're covering politics every day. So basically, we have to take their word. We have to trust that they are conveying the right information. But of course, there's a whole other world going on out there. And that is the world we need to understand. This is why you hear so regularly on this program the need to construct your own systems. The system cannot be trusted to see to your interests and welfare, or even just to do its job. It cannot be trusted. From the firing of James Comey, and it's kind of ironic that it should have been instigated by Donald Trump, of all people. When you begin to look very closely at who James Comey has been and still is, how does a guy go from a regular job, a regular schlub job within the bureaucracy, to earning more than $33 million a year? To have a net worth of, I should say, in excess of $33 million. How does that happen? And how does it happen so openly, and people don't find that to be a strange thing, an odd thing that needs to be probed a little bit deeper? How do you do that? And then you become the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, but you are beyond being investigated. And from the investigations that we have seen him handle, we've seen some very odd results. And in some cases, no results. This man said point blank, there was nothing there to see. There was nothing there that was untoward or irregular in Hillary Clinton's background or her involvement in a number of things that had the Clinton Foundation as the hub. Nothing to see here, folks. Just keep moving. Move along. Nothing to see here. And yet, all over the world, this is not an exaggeration. We talk about it here. All over the world, governments are probing the Clinton Foundation, having realized that they've been had. Hundreds of billions of dollars. Our guy says there's nothing to see here. Move along. He grants immunity before he even asks a question. So no tears being shed by me. I certainly am not going to stand up and talk about how irregular this is, that James Comey, the way he has handled certain cases, just screams, it begs and screams for a detailed accounting. But then we have seen also, and it has come into sharp focus with the election of Donald Trump, the system is mad. It has always been, but we never really saw it so closely. We never had a chance, an opportunity to see its innards. And they stink. They reek of corruption. These are the times that we should, as we do, we take some time, put the brakes on, and we ask the very necessary question, what the hell is going on here? And we should move as quickly as possible to the next question. How do I get out of it if I can? What would that system be that I have to construct so that I, at least I could contain this bacteria and not have it destroy me? So much of what is going on does not involve us except as victims. They are able to do what they want to do. They have their hands on the throttle and brake. And they are doing whatever they want to do. Our only job is to behave like lemmings come voting time and show up and, quote, vote, unquote. But what are we voting for? This? This is what we are voting for? A bunch of mediocre, greedy, corrupt people who also happen to have the reins of this country and the resources of this country in their hands. We can't check them. We have no further role to play than after the so-called election. Just disappear. Do your voting thing, which really doesn't matter. I mean, it's not of such great consequence. because they have their own system of operating. If it wasn't Donald Trump, it would be Hillary Clinton. Imagine that. How much difference is there between the two? We are being run by a family dynasty with no shining star among them, no exceptionally brilliant people in the pack. And we have already covered the fact that there is great reason to believe that the head of state needs a new head. He needs to go to a shrink. So that's where we are today. I'm not going to opine. I want you to. And I want to do this in a way that encourages you when the speed of things is just completely out of control. Things are happening so fast. And then we get wrapped into it. This technically should be none of our business. We shouldn't have to worry about who is watching the people at the helm. We've just had an election, and it was, quote, free and fair, sort of, unquote, you know, nothing special in the way of the kind of screwed up elections we've experienced before. But we no longer have a peace of mind. We have no peace of mind because these are the wrong people in the wrong places doing the wrong things. And we don't seem to be able to stop it. Nobody is accountable. Nobody pays a price. Nobody gets taken down. And here we are every day. We try to obey the law. We stop at the stop sign. You know, we do all the things we're supposed to do because surely you're going to have creatures like Jeff Sessions all the way in his office planning how to utterly destroy your life and your children's lives. Why? Because he got appointed. He's one of the in crowds. They reached back. They reached back in time to grab this man by the scruff of his neck and put him in charge of law and order. Hello? He could start right there in Congress. He could start even with himself. So it's a mess. And when we reach to these points in time, it drives me nuts because we are reacting. We have no choice but to react. Instead of acting or continuing to act in our interests, we have to drop things. We have to, you know, concentrate on how to survive a vengeful system. So let's talk about it at 888-874-4888. Let's talk about where you think we are, what is happening, and what's the way out of this morass that we once more find ourselves in, without any ammunition, without any defenses. We'll take this short break and come back to your thoughts at 888-874-4888. Oh. Oh, I'm sorry. This is where we have to pick up the pieces, and we find ourselves going through these cycles way too often, scandal after scandal after scandal, and we keep repeating. We invest in systems that have just one objective. They are to survive, and we are not. We are completely dispensable, and we have no real input in any of this. You think Donald Trump goes home at night and worries about what the people are worrying about? Do you think any of his cabinet members have as their number one priority doing their jobs well? No. It's about money and power, and that's it. We go through the cycles of, okay, we voting, we electing somebody. We are the paragon all over the world. We are the paragon of democracy. And look what we got. How does it feel? Is it feeling democratic about now? Does it feel like you have freedom and democracy right now? Is this what you feel that you elected? Is this why you voted? Are you happy with what's going on? Do you have any way yourself of fixing this? Clay from New Jersey, what have you to say?
Hi, Utrice. I love Hello. Your show.
Thank
Hello,
you.
Hello, Utrice. Hi, I love your show. You're a godsend. I will
Thank
tell you.
You
that me personally, I have an onboard camera on my vehicle, which I'm driving right now. You have to make yourself aware of the laws as well as you can so they don't hem you in. But other than that, as an individual, as collectively, there's very little we can do unless we can find another place to live in.
But it's going to be a variation of the same theme. Clay, let me ask you, what do you understand the situation to be? What is going on with us as citizens right now?
We are in sad shape. You know, the sad part about all of this is that those that are in the far right hate anything that's progressive, but usually they're fat, sick, and I'm willing to bet that that's part of the pathology. You know, they're fat, sick, they are subject to the orthodox medical system, but don't understand where their maladies come from. You know? It's sad. It's a sad state of affairs all around. And the people that are progressive were far and few in between, counting the audience that you have on this show that know anything. We are suffering from a very severe case of dumbing down, and that is one thing that is plaguing this country. People do not know. They are ignorant.
If somebody were to drop out of the sky and say, hey, Clay, nice to meet you, what's going on in your country right now?
Oh, we're in bad shape. And, you know, I would say we are on the precipice. Eventually there will be a civil war here in this country. And I will tell you that when this country eventually loses a war, which they are warmongering for, that will eventually cause a civil war, and there's going to be a cleansing, which I'm going to tell you, in this country, and that's what we need, a cleansing, you know?
What do you mean by that word, a cleansing?
A cleansing is, unfortunately, the law, you know, people will lose their lives, you know, and I believe that this country will break into different little pieces. With a demographic of people situated in these places according to their belief system, you know, and unfortunately that's what it will eventually become. You know, me personally, I tell my kids take what you can because there are still resources in this country that can be garnered, but eventually you're going to have to roll out of here. You know, that's what I tell my kids, you know, and it's a sad state of affairs. over the last 40 years, I've seen it progressively get worse, you know. And now they basically have everybody's information handy where they know who you are, what you do, where you live, what you like, what you don't like. So it's very hard to even fly under the radar, which I personally try to do.
Do you believe, Clay, that are you seeing anywhere something that looks like the beginning of people beginning to put the pieces together and organizing something different? But of course, I agree with you. I mean, it looks like eventually we are going to be just carved up into these little pieces. Do you see anything that is an overarching binder, if you will, and something that allows us to have the hope that we can fix some portion of this madness, but we certainly cannot endure much more of it with the way government is run and the arrangement being that we have no power to fix it?
That is correct. No, we have no power. I mean, we are, you know, this is a government unto itself, for itself. And it has been for years, you know. From the end of World War II, these people, you know, they've just been running amok. And ultimately, we are talking about a white supremacist mentality, which is not a generalization on all Caucasians, but unfortunately, that's what it is. Now, are there pieces that are trying to do the right thing? I would say that there are. But ultimately, they all suffer from the dumbing down that has been perpetrated on the people of this country.
Oh, wow. Do you see a change coming soon?
Not in the next two election cycles. And unfortunately, I do believe that these people will try to instigate a war against someone. Eventually, they're going to instigate it against the wrong one. And it will cause a severe bloodletting in this country. I mean, you can't pick on everyone, you know. I mean, you can't continuously pick on everyone and think that nobody's going to push back, you know. And that's what these people, you know, that's what these people do. And unfortunately,
I think you're right about the war, because it has been a winning formula for a long time in the United States. When people at the leadership level, when the president of the United States finds himself in a bind, hey, nothing fixes it like a good war. And that's what
correct.
Everybody, I think, senses, that there's going to be, in order to rebalance, and I'm saying these words advisedly, in order to come back to the natural order, we will now have a war, and now we will have all of the attributes that we admire so much in full swing. Patriotism, America, America. And this is what they repeatedly do when the country sinks to a point where it actually is at the brink of creating, as you pointed out correctly, I think, the civil war mentality. They create a war and export the anger rather than deal with the anger within. Thank you so much, Clay, for calling in today. I so enjoyed talking to you. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Hello, Eutrice.
Hello.
Good
what
to hear
is
your
this
voice.
Thing? What is this
strong.
Thing that? Thank you so much. What is this thing that we're experiencing here?
Yeah, I don't. You keep saying we got chaos.
Yep.
We have order. We have the new world order. Everything is in order for the system to do what it's doing, and that's why it's getting away with it so good. If we have chaos, we'll have chaos if they were telling us the truth, because then people would know what was really going on, and then there would be total chaos. That's why they don't tell us the truth, because we can't handle it. If we knew that all the coastlines we're going to be inundated with water maybe in 20 miles in on all the coastline. That would cause complete chaos, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, you know, I'm just trying to get a sense of how you feel about our current situation. I know how I feel about it. When these kinds of things are unfolding and so rapidly, you get the sense that, you know, there's a lot more to come. And you begin to ask, well, could we fight back? And if so, with what? What are we fighting back with? This is a deeply entrenched order. They have all the tools. They command all the power. We, you know, we put up a fight, but it's largely everybody could see. We don't have weapons. We don't have defenses. We don't have even an ideology that we can agree upon. And the machine is still moving. It's still moving in these erratic directions. But for the system, as long as they have their power, as long as they have their money, as long as they have authority, unbridled authority, they're in good shape. We are the ones who ought to be organizing some kind of defense, and it is so depressing, I think, that we don't see a coherent response by the people who are suffering the most. What do you think?
Yeah, we don't see it because we've been conditioned for all these years. We're still like in the 70s, 80s, 90s. We're not understanding that since 2001, when 9/11 happened, everything changed. It's a whole new ball game. Throw out everything you knew for before that, because now what's going on is a whole deception. We're being lied to left and right, and we're given so much information that our heads are spinning. We can't slow down because every day there's a new thing to talk about. We started about Trump is insane. If he's insane, then they're all insane. Nixon wasn't insane. This guy, McCain, he's starting to sound just like Ronald Reagan. He's like, he's definitely like got dementia. And nobody's saying nothing about him. He's scary to me. Trump is not scary to me. Trump is just doing what he's told. He's a pawn to this system. He's just doing it. Yeah. You keep talking about the fences. Do you think the Asian people in this country, in the United States, care who the president is? Do you think they care? They have their own communities within communities. They rent out church space. They all meet on a Thursday night, and they discuss what they have to do. They buy a bit. When a new family is moving in from China or Vietnam, they're not coming over here on the blind. They have a support system all set up for them. Well, they're going to have an apartment. If they need money, they got money, because they all come together like ants work. They're the ants of the insect world, is like the Asians. They work together. They take care of themselves. They don't care who the president is or who Comey is or Hillary is. They're not going to waste their time. They're building their own thing. That's why they have all these stores. What do you think? They're just Asians love vegetable stores? No, that's what they know is going to support a community. So they have stores. They have ways of taking care of each other. That's what they're doing. Americans don't know that because we've been conditioned a whole different way. Hello?
Well, yes, I was listening, and I listened very intently, you know. So thank you, Eve, for calling in today and contributing.
Okay, I'll leave it with that because, I got a million. It's just too much, you know. So thank you for letting me get that out.
Thank you so much. Rose from New York, you're on the air. Oh, we lost Rose. Well, this is the discussion that we ought to be having, not just among ourselves, but the whole nation needs to be asking this question. I mean, what is this? What is this? Is this what government is? Is this what we should tolerate? Is this what we should live with or have to live with? Really? People creating chaos and havoc in our lives, their lives are secure. You know, James Comey may have been fired, but he's sitting on a pile of cash. You know, he's a millionaire sitting on a pile of cash. Well, he has a little disagreement. He's had a little tiff with the president. But both Trump and Comey will survive. They're fine. They got buddies. They've got friends. They have arrangements all over the place that would see to their interests and take care of them. They organized it that way. When you go in and you become a part of somebody's circle with power, you share and derive a bit of the benefit of having that power yourself. So you become untouchable. We are schlubbing every day. We are compelled, or we are conscious of the rules that we must obey or pay the price. We can't steal money. We can't hold up a bank. But look at how these people are operating. This is a renegade government. A rogue government with a rogue president. And we seem to have no way of just saying stop. This is unacceptable. And as the old ball game phrase was so liberally used, throw the bums out. Throw them out. This is not what we bargained for. This is not the high ideals of democracy. These are thieves and liars and all kinds of misfits who have weaseled their way into positions of power. And we seem to be like zombies, disconnected. Our brains are disconnected. So we're not thinking here. Maybe it's because we see what the truth is. You could squawk, you could talk, you could do whatever you want. We have every single possible way of containing you. We have every possible way of deciding what we can do with you. If you shouldn't abide by what we tell you the law is. I'm not suggesting that there is no one in government who has a respect for the law or is decent or is doing the right thing. Not at all. I think there are many, many people in government. I'm talking about that class, that elite group, the people who get to decide what the rest of the world and the rest of the country get to do, the people who get to decide who is to receive punishment. See, this is what I'm talking about. We have no ongoing way, no ongoing system of checks and balances against a rogue government. And that's what we have to understand. That's what we've got. We have a rogue government. Yet again. And they're getting more and more venal with their capacity to inflict harm on others. Yeah. Well, I didn't like Michelle Obama yank her programs with school children and school lunches. A venal thing like that. for no reason other than you have the power to do it, so you'll do it. Knowing that more than likely, nobody is going to come up against you and check you. You see, that's where we are. It's no different than you know, I watch a series. I've been watching it for a long, long time. It's a Japanese series, actually. And the context is the rise of the shogunate. But how these people, these gang leaders, literally, took over entire towns and villages and small cities, and that's how they were run, by gangsters. And there was a heck of a price to pay if you should fall on the wrong side of the gangs that rule whatever town. If you're traveling from point A to point B, or point A to point D, and you have every single gang lord to be mindful of what the rules are and so forth, that's exactly what is happening in the United States. It has become a form of terrorism that we have civilized in our minds. That there's no, it couldn't possibly be the case that the president is a thug. It couldn't possibly be the case that this person is a thief. It couldn't possibly be the case that the other one is a traitor to the country. They wrap themselves in this imaginary ideal of the American way and the American flag, and they're killing the people. They're killing us. And they are arrogating more and more power and authority to themselves and money. And money. You have heard here on this program the assessment by the guy who brought down Wall Street that one couple, the Clintons, and their cronies might have inured among themselves in excess of $1 trillion. And yet we have a guy standing brazenly before the world saying, no crime committed here. There's nothing to prosecute here. You know? And so, and worse, what's more, nobody in their right mind could properly prosecute these crimes and proceed with a deep investigation of these crimes. It cannot happen, let alone whether it will happen or not. Henry from Chicago, what are you saying? What do you think this whole thing is? What does it, how is it resonating with you?
Well, I mean, I think about it a lot in regards to figuring out what we can do as a people to build up, you know, the system that you were, you implied to, because of the fact that this system that is running the country is, you know, is oppressing, you know, us as a people. So, you know, the first thing I think that we have to do, you know, as a group of people is to try to change our mindset about a lot of things, you know, and not overcomplicate, you know, a lot of problems, you know, the solutions to problems, because there's some simple things that we can do to, you know, to make some kind of waves and, you know, make waves amongst the ones who are in charge. Earlier you mentioned, you know, the people who are in control, you know, have power and money. Now, when I thought about money, it's like, okay, so we as a people can always, we have different ways to redirect money, which can cause a lot of, you know, chaos amongst those who are ruling, because the problem is that they want us to, you know, keep running our everyday lives. But once that pattern breaks, and especially when it comes to, like, spending, you know, people, like in Wall Street, get concerned about that. So that's one thing that we can do in regards to our spending habits. You know, we can basically withhold our money or put our money into something that, you know, will genuinely help the people. So that's one thing that we can do as a people.
Okay. Explain, if you can, while, let's say we put into play what you've just said, suggested. Do you feel that an effort such as that, which will take some time to, you know, gain momentum, do you think these folks believe that that poses or will pose enough of a threat to them and their system and how they live their lives, considering that they own practically everything or that they can call the shots?
I think it can. Obviously, you know, like you mentioned, it's going to take time, because the thing is that stuff like this, and if you look through history, you know, it doesn't happen over, you know, a day or a week or even a year. You know, this thing takes time to do if you're going to attack them financially. And as you know, and many people who listen to this show know, with history, you know, the Montgomery bus boycott movement didn't really have an impact until about, you know, almost a year, which when they realized, hey, you know, we're losing money here. So, it takes a concerted effort and takes concerted time. So, yeah, initially they will probably say, oh, that's so cute. You know, they're boycotting this or they're boycotting that. But when they see something where a group of people's mindset change, and then they started seeing over time that certain sectors in Wall Street is losing money, then yeah, they're going to be concerned about that.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you cited the Montgomery bus boycott, because that is the exact lesson we're talking about today.
Mm-hmm.
It was successful. It took a lot of time, but it was successful. It brought the bus, the transportation, or the transit service to its knees.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? This is my point exactly. Having done that, what would have been the logical thing to do, you think?
Yeah, that's something to think about.
You know, my point is, having done that, you start your own bus company.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you can do that as well.
And that's my point. We have to have long-term and short-term strategies, but implementable. If you could bring the transit company for an entire municipality to an absolute dead halt, at the same time you could do that, you start your own bus company. They actually had, in effect, you know, with private citizens, you know, putting their cars and vehicles in service, getting people from point A to point B. That was a transit system.
Mm-hmm.
So you own it.
Yes, that is definitely an idea. And even I was even thinking about this. Now, maybe you can even get more radical and just say, hey, you know what? If we can get about 10,000 people to say, to, you know, claim or write a letter to the IRS that we refuse to pay taxes. What are they going to do? They're going to arrest 10,000 people for not paying taxes? I mean, that'll they probably
they'll
could,
find a way.
At the same time,
to arrest 10,000 people.
Yeah, but it would look bad, you know. So it's like
they don't care.
That would take a lot
this
of sacrifice.
We have to come to grips, I think, with the. What drives the people who are making decisions for all of us? The number one thing is they have no sympathy. They have no conscience. And we ought to think of that system that way. I mean, when you are thinking of yanking food, a food program that keeps many elderly people and children alive, you have no heart. So we can't continue to hope and pray that you have one. We see what you're doing. We conclude you have no heart. Now, how do we counter that? See, this is what I'm saying. There's a sense of helplessness, and I would so like it to disappear with people in whatever ways that you can send that signal. You know, the old thing of, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. That is the attitude we ought to have. There's no reason to show any mercy to a system that shows us no mercy, that abuses its power, that is doing the wrong thing, that has no interest apart from this symbolic gesture of having a vote. They don't care about these things. What they care about, Donald Trump is the happiest man in the world. Look what he's got. He's got what no other wealthy man has. He's got an army, a navy, he's got bombs, he's got all the prizes. And in his head, that is exactly what he has wanted to achieve. He's achieved it. Now, so you have problems? Well, you know, I wish you well in fixing your problems, but that's not why I'm elected. that's the attitude. So I'm urging that we find a way, first of all, to not have their problems consume us, but that we have an intelligent way to respond so that even in a small way, we have a defense. We have some kind of place that gives us protection against this because it's going to be, it's unending. We can see it. And it is not necessarily through political parties because that bureaucratic system is so entrenched. We now have second, third, and fourth generations of these people running things today in much the same way that their grandpappy did. So the mentality stays. We have a generational effect, just like slavery.
Yeah, I agree with that one.
So this is my point. Your children will end up facing the same attitudes and ideas of Trump's child, his last child. You know, this is how it is working out. We have to find a way. We've got to find a way and work on it. But not give up. That's important.
Yeah,
Thanks a lot. Good to hear from you, Henry.
All right.
From Brooklyn, David, you're on the air. Hello, David.
Started thinking, you jogged my mind. I turned tuning in late. But I'm getting the feeling that we need to do something to turn the tables. In other words, we remember that Hillary Clinton talked about bringing the black youth to heel, like a little dog or something. And we need to turn the tables and bring the ruling capitalist class that runs the country to heel. In other words, let's turn that around and let's bring them to heel, because they are essentially running the whole show, and their mission hasn't changed. Now, you spoke about the taking the food out of the elderly people's program to deliver food and other things for children at schools. They don't care about those things. So everyone has to get it into their head that the ruling capitalist class here, the corporate capitalist class that runs the country, has their mission, and their mission has not changed, which is to make profit for themselves. So let's bring them to heel. Even though we may have capitalism for a while, we don't have any progressive socialist system, we could do, for number one, like the Western European countries done. They have capitalism over there, but they've pretty much brought those capitalists to heel. So their quality of life, their happiness index is way at the top, whereas ours is not. So we ought to start with things like dealing at the lower level, at the city and state legislative level, and getting these laws about the way they're able to rig these elections, and that would be a start. But that's not the only thing we could do. We had to attack them on another fronts, excuse me, but that all goes to bringing them to heel and turn the tables on Hillary Clinton and Obama and the rest of those people, and create a better life for everyone in this country.
Thank you. Thank you, David, for your call. Gerald from Georgia, you have a few minutes, but I know you have something profound to say.
No, but it's more or less a question, comment. I keep thinking about what happened in Oklahoma with Black Wall Street. People got organized, did well, and it was destroyed by the power structure. So I'm just saying, question that I think.
Actually, it was destroyed by the military.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Well, wasn't that, isn't that the power structure?
But I just wanted to be a little bit clearer that
it was the first time
that we saw the bombing, the government bombing its own citizens, was in Black Wall Street. But go ahead, since we're running a little bit tight on time.
The question actually that that's in my head is organizing to do something to, like, get your own bus system and so forth and so on. You know, I'm sure they got things in place, the people in power, to stop things like that and make it extremely difficult or virtually impossible. This is what I'm thinking. I hope I'm wrong. But this
I think you're having a point here. You're making a point.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, with all the technology, you know, how much they watch everybody, it's going to be real difficult. I mean, we know that, but, you know, it's kind of like that. That's the way I see it. So I'm just kind of hoping maybe somebody has some insight into how to avoid another Black Wall Street type of a situation, you know, among people. That's what I'm saying. Sorry.
Well, No. Thank you so much, Gerald. Good to hear from you from Georgia. Thank you. Well, that brings us to the end of the program today. We have to continue talking about these things and thinking about these things, because somewhere in all of this, in the midst of all of this chaos, we can find, hopefully, community. We can find community and begin the process. I hate to use the word this way because people would have a different idea. We begin the process of reconstruction. And we begin to look at patterns or models that would work or that could work. What they will be, we don't know. All I know is that this system, I mean, it couldn't tell us any clearer that we are nothing. We really are not involved in this whole thing. This is a fight among the elites for resources, for money, for power, and we are no longer part of this process. That's it. We have come up against a wall. What are we going to do? And how are we going to get it done? And we just have to keep talking about these things, because out of these discussions, there would be ideas. The one thing that I don't want anybody to be is despondent or despairing. That's defeat right there. You continue to walk and do your thing to live, but you're smarter and you have an objective in your life, which is to plan a way certain that you can survive. You and the people who matter to you can survive. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Meditations and Molotovs with Vincent Emanuele, a great program. You can reach me via email at leadstories@gmail.com. Let me know what you're thinking. A pleasure always, and a great privilege to be in your company. We see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.